Well, after the excitement of being in London 2 days ago and back in Kidderminster, it's minus 1 degrees, so I have dressed warmly. People wonder how you can preach in cold weather. Well, the answer is dress warmly. Having said that, I did have problems last year in Hull with just the cold air going into my lungs, but we'll see how it goes. Friday lunchtime, cold Kidderminster, 1st of December, 2023. Father, I pray and ask that you bless the preaching of your word. I pray that you fill me with your spirit and use me for your glory. I pray that you give me a heart full of love for those who are perishing. And I pray that you'd use me for the furtherance of the gospel. I pray you give me utterance. I pray you give me the spirit of a sound mind, of wisdom, power in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that Jesus Christ and his name would be lifted up and that he would be set faithfully before men as a crucified Saviour. And I pray, Father, that you would have mercy upon this town of Kidderminster and pour out your Holy Spirit here, convicting power, and that men and women and children would find the Lord Jesus to be their Saviour from sin. So I'm unworthy, Lord. I confess my sin to you, that I'm a guilty man. But I ask for cleansing in Jesus' blood, and I commend myself to you now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I should point out that things are not quite as easy today. The place I normally stand has been blocked off with wire cage, and there's been some kind of materials put there, so some kind of big building project next to the town hall or something. There were benches out here which people sat on and listened to the preaching, but the benches have all been removed, so it's not as easy as it was. But here we are, and there's traffic driving around me in every direction, although I'm standing in a precinct. Well, good afternoon. It's my privilege to be here and to preach the gospel, to say that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, that he is the one who died to save sinners like you and me, and that he is the one who will give you everlasting life. We each have a soul. We have an undying soul. We are not. We don't cease to exist at death, but after death comes judgment, and because of that, we need to be ready for the day of judgment, and the only way that we can be ready for the day of judgment is if we have saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's huge amounts of area around me that cars can drive, but they're all just coming right for me. So I'm walking around. This is crazy. Oh well. Jesus is the only way that we can have everlasting life. And apart from faith in him, there is no salvation. Islam cannot save us. Buddhism can't save us. Marxism is no kind of doctrine. Jesus Christ alone came into the world to die to be the Saviour of the world, and he died upon the cross of Calvary. He paid the penalty for sin. He laid down his life in the place of sinners. He loved sinners and gave himself for sinners, so that whosoever believes on him, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, their sin would be forgiven, and they would have peace with God, and they would go to heaven. Because Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. You must trust in him and trust in him alone, the Lord Jesus, and your sins will be forgiven. Three young women there thanking me for preaching and crossing themselves, suggesting they may be perhaps Roman Catholics. But the Apostle Paul, that very famous apostle who wrote much of the New Testament, says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "We preach Christ Jesus crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Paul was pointing out that the Jewish people, being very religious, and Paul was a Jew and Jesus was a Jew, were looking for a sign. But and the Greeks, being very clever, we've heard about Greek philosophers and Greek philosophy, they were looking to get to heaven by wisdom. But neither the Jews nor the Greeks were satisfied with the gospel, which simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Paul isn't showing them great signs. The Lord Jesus certainly did things that were great signs. He raised people from the dead, and he himself was resurrected, raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ being the Saviour of the world. That's not thunder, that's some plastic boxes being moved around. I've got a feeling that's going to be an ongoing thing for this session. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, and it's not by signs or by wisdom. The Greeks seek after wisdom. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. God's way of salvation isn't by works, it's not by wisdom, it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. A lorry just going past right by me. Oh dear, what a place. This is a precinct. What a day. Maybe the cold's going to my head. Jesus Christ. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. And that's what I'm here to preach today. Christ Jesus and Him crucified. God's way of salvation. The only way of salvation. The only way that our sins can be forgiven. The only way that we can go to heaven. Now, the world is full of religious people. And the world is full of religions, and those people, if you ask them, will say, well, they hope to get to heaven by their works. If you were to speak to the Muslims and ask them, did they know that they were going to heaven, they would simply say, well, I hope my works are good enough to go to heaven. But you see, the Bible says, by the works of the law, no man shall be saved. So if a Muslim, for example, is looking to be saved by his works, or her works, then they will fall short of the glory of God and they cannot be saved. The same would be true of any religion that teaches salvation by works. Salvation can't be earned. It's a free gift of God which He bestows on those who have faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yeah, amen, thank you. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, and He is the Saviour of the world. He's also the Jewish Messiah, but the Jews, for the most part, haven't recognised that yet. They will do. The day will come when they look upon those whom they have pierced and mourn, the Bible tells us. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only remedy and the only answer to sin. Now here's somebody and says, well, I expect to get to heaven because I'm very religious. But you see, that won't get you to heaven. You say, well, I go to church. You say, well, I even have a place in the church. I clean the brass, or I welcome people at the door or something like that. Or maybe you're even a preacher or a minister. But that's not going to save you. Salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And there will be many on the day of judgment who went to church, who found that they went to church, but they never went to Jesus Christ. And they never found the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Saviour from sin. And that being the case, they weren't saved and their sins remained upon them. John Bunyan, in his very famous book, The Pilgrim's Progress, saw two church-going people who were very sure of their salvation approach the gates of heaven. Because they were trusting in themselves, they were trusting in their religiousness, they were trusting in their religiosity. They were trusting that their religious services and practices and ceremonies were enough to please God, whereas these things cannot please God. And Bunyan saw them approach the gates of heaven, and as they were about to approach the gates of heaven, the ground opened up, and the fires of hell came and swallowed them up. And Bunyan said that he saw that there was a way to hell by the gate of heaven. And Bunyan's meaning was this, that you could go to church all your life and never find Jesus Christ. You could be very religious and never know the salvation that comes from God. You could be righteous in your own eyes and in filthy rags before the throne of Almighty God. And the Lord Jesus warns us that on the day of judgment, there will be those on the day of judgment There will be those on the day of judgment who say, Lord, did we not do many mighty works? Did we not do many great things? And Jesus will say, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In some respects, sometimes the preacher would like to preach in a thunderstorm because of the effect, but that's of course carnal. But here we have simulated thunder, these big plastic boxes being hurled around by workers here. But it's not real thunder, but we had lightning as well, perhaps. Jesus is the Saviour of the world, and if we are to be saved, it cannot be by our religion, it must be by faith in Him. If we go to church, religion is going to church, it's doing religious practices, it's going through ceremonies, it's trying to be saved by my own works. But the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom He has sent, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to cast ourselves on Jesus Christ. You see, that the problem that we have is our sin. Our sin separates us from God. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And we need a remedy to the wrath of God. God's wrath is kindled against sin. The Bible tells us that He is angry with the wicked every day. That means we have a problem with our sins. You say that God will just love me as I am, I can do what I like, and God is love, and He is some kind of pathetic person who just has to go along with everything that I want. You have the wrong God. God hates sin. God is the judge of every single one of us. And He says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And England is a nation that has forgotten God. We used to be Great Britain, then we became the United Kingdom, and now we seem to be just England. Scotland and Wales seeming to have gone their own way. And maybe we're about to lose Ireland and about to lose Gibraltar and everything else. But all of these judgments of God on us for our sins, our godlessness. We must repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will forgive us and have mercy on us. God's way of salvation is not through wisdom, and it's not through works, but it is through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. There are those here in Kidderminster who hope to get to heaven because of their smartness. They have a degree in something. Maybe it's science, and they're trusting in their degree in science. Oh, they say, science is the answer to everything. Is it? You look at the science that has gone into the weapons that are being used in Ukraine or in Gaza at the moment. Is that the end of science? Or you look at the so-called science that says that a person can change sex. Is that the end of science? That is foolishness, madness, folly, fearfully ridiculous. It makes us a laughingstock, and it harms society and children beyond measure to say that a person can change sex when they cannot. And to lie to a patient who is distressed, to lie to a person who is distressed, confused, upset, even suicidal, and tell them that the answer to their trials, difficulties and problems is that they should change sex somehow by some magical scientific process which doesn't exist is cruelty. Science will not save us. Oh, you say, well, no, my PhD isn't in science, but my PhD is in religion, in theology. Well, I can tell you, we have some very clever men who were in London 2 weeks ago at the General Synod of the Church of England. Very learned men, very reverent men, who, with all of their learning and all of their degrees in theology, decided that the church should have special services to bless sodomy. same-sex sexual immorality, sodomy, and other such things. Now this is an abomination to Almighty God. And for all of their learning, the archbishops and the bishops, Welby and so on, for all of their learning, they seem to know nothing about God. They seem to know nothing about the salvation of God that comes from God. They seem to know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a member of my congregation, whilst everybody else is walking past, I have a pigeon sitting in front of me listening intently. So at least I have one member of my congregation. These bishops, like Welby and so on, seem to know nothing about God. God hates sin. God poured out his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah because of sodomy. But these men will bring sodomy into the church. And by so doing, they will destroy the church. They have destroyed the church. They are under the wrath of God. God's judgments, God's wrath is mightily kindled against the Church of England now because of her sins. And those who are true Christians need to leave the Church of England. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus will deliver you from your sins. He will give you salvation. He will give you everlasting life. Paul didn't come in and say, well, if you go off to Syracuse and study under Archimedes, or you go off to Alexandria and study under so-and-so, if you study Plato and Aristotle and Neoplato and all these other philosophers, I know Neoplato isn't a philosopher, if you study all those, that wisdom will get you to heaven. No, that the Greeks sought after wisdom and they didn't attain righteousness. And all of that Greek wisdom and all of our science and wisdom and degrees and everything won't reconcile us to Almighty God. Jesus said, except you come to God as a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's God's terms. As a little child, helpless, weak, pathetic, with nothing to bring with you except your sin, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you, a little child, how many degrees does a little child have? None. How many PhDs does a little child have? None. You see, Jesus says, you must come unto me as a little child. We must come to him in total surrender, in absolute humility, in absolute abhorrence of our sins. We must come to Jesus knowing that we have nothing whatsoever to commend ourselves to Almighty God. We must come to Jesus in the filthy rags of our sins, our corruptions, our wickedness, our swearing, our lying, which God sees. You see, some of us are so accustomed to get away with lying all of the time. Some of us are so accustomed to do that we think nothing of it. But one lie would see us cast into hell for eternity. Lying is a horrible sin. God hates lying lips, the Bible tells us. And the liar will have their place in the lake of fire. That's why we need a saviour. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need someone else who can save us, who can deliver us, who can give us the salvation that comes from Almighty God. And that someone is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus never lied. The Lord Jesus never swore. The Lord Jesus never had an impure or an immoral thought. The Lord Jesus always did that which was pleasing to his Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ did not need to die because the wages of sin is death, but the Lord Jesus died in the place of sinners. And on the cross he became sin in the place of sinners. And the wrath of the Father was poured out on Jesus Christ. God's wrath poured out on God the Son for sin, for wickedness, for corruption. And the Lord Jesus, my friends, he died in the place of sinners. Now I ask you, how will you give an account on the day of God's wrath when he calls you to give an account, when you must stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ and give an account for every thought, word and deed, for every sin?
Because the Bible says that every sin will receive its just recompense and reward. And Jesus warned us about the reality of hellfire and damnation more than anyone. That hellfire is real, that damnation is real, that Jesus himself on the day of judgment will say to you, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." God has prepared a place called hell for the devil and his angels. Now I know that you probably think that Satan is the king of hell and that he reigns over hell and that you either go to heaven to be with God or to hell to be with Satan. But I tell you, God created hell as a place to punish Satan. And the devil and his angels will all be in hell, and you will be in hell also if you do not repent of your sin and turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of your souls. And I remind you that hell in the Bible, which is the Word of God, is not a place of partying and drinking and loud music and sexual immorality, an everlasting party. That in itself would actually be hell, you know. But it's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, where there is hunger that can never be satisfied, where there is fiery torment that can never be lessened, where there is a gnawing, terrible outer darkness which can never ever be taken away. Hell is a place of fiery torment, my friends. That's what Jesus told us. And the Lord Jesus told us that in loving mercy, that we might take warning, that we have souls, that there is a judgment to come, there is a wrath to come, and that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of our souls. Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." In other words, in Paul's day, when they were preaching the gospel in the synagogues and in the streets, there were many, many people who couldn't understand this, whether they were Jews or Gentiles in those days. They couldn't understand it. It was too simple. It was too straightforward. It wasn't what they wanted. And there's no different today. Jesus Christ is set before us. Jesus Christ is set before us as the Savior of the world, as the Savior of all those who put their trust in him. We preach Christ crucified, Paul says. That's the whole message of this apostle who wrote so much of the New Testament. That Jesus Christ and him crucified is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He died in the place of sinners. He laid down his life in the place of sinners. He gave himself in the place of sinners. He became a sacrifice for sin, the only sacrifice for sin, a great sacrifice for sin, a sufficient sacrifice for sin. So that when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of my sin is forgiven forever, all of it. Now, if we really saw our sins as they really were, we would be filled with dread and terror. But you see, we hide from sin. We run from God. We run from the truth. We run from the knowledge of God because we don't think we're sinners, or we think we're not so bad. But we are sinners by nature. One lie, one swear word, one impure thought, one sexual immorality or lust or something like that. We are sinners by nature. Pornography is sinful. God looks at the heart. Jesus said, "Whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her in his heart hath committed adultery with her in his heart." God looks at the heart. You might put on a very good show for everybody else. Everybody might say, "Look at so-and-so, isn't she wonderful? She is such a pillar of our society. She's a national treasure even." But God looks at the heart. And Jesus tells us it's out of the heart that all the poison of our sins come. We are bad at the core of our hearts, at the core of our being. We are wrong. We are not right with God. We are guilty. And God will never allow anything which is impure or unholy or unrighteous or corrupt or sinful into his holy place. who say, I think I'm good enough for heaven. God will not allow you into his heaven. You cannot go to heaven in your sins. It is not possible for you to go to heaven in your sins. Your sins must be washed away. Your sins must be forgiven. And that can only be by Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't help you. Buddha can't help you. It was Jesus Christ alone who died upon the cross of Calvary, who loved sinners and laid down his life for sinners, who gave himself for sinners, who died in the place of sinners, who is the Saviour of the world. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Jesus is the one who laid down his life. Jesus is the one who will deliver you from your sins. So Paul says that he preaches Christ Jesus and him crucified. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins remain upon you. If your sins remain upon you, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell. That is why you need Jesus. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to know the salvation that comes from God through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And sexual immorality is sin, and God will judge the sexually immoral for their sin. What days we live in, days of wickedness. I've already said, sodomy is an abomination to Almighty God. Sexual immorality, sexual perversion, same-sex lustful sin is an abomination before Almighty God. Turn from your sins. Turn from your evil ways. Turn from your lying and your swearing and your drunkenness. Turn from your pride and your self-righteousness. Turn from your unbelief, which is the sin of sins. Turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross of Calvary, who was nailed to a cross, who was raised up between the heavens and the earth, who laid down his life in the place of sinners, who loved sinners like you and me, and gave himself for sinners. Turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's way of salvation, and God has only made one way. Now, whilst there are many who think that they will get to heaven by their own works, there are more, I think, in our society who think that they don't even need to get to heaven, that there is no heaven. Well, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We are a nation that has forgotten God. You want to know why we're being troubled and trialed, and we have all of these difficulties in our land, with our health service, with immigration and all of these things which are being spoken of in the mainstream media the whole time now? It's because we have forgotten God. It's because we said to God, go away, we don't want you. We have forsaken the word of God, the Bible. We have forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. We have chosen to live according to our own dictates and our own desires and our own sins. Professing ourselves to be wise, we have become fools. Nothing is more foolish than to say that a person can become a member of the opposite sex. No one ever has changed sex, and no one ever will. Or to say that there are hundreds of different genders and that it's a purely subjective matter. That is madness. And not only is it madness, but it has become tyrannical. So if somebody says they're X, Y, or Z gender, you have to believe it, or you might lose your job. If somebody says you have to wear a pronoun badge, and I cannot think of anything more ridiculous, nonsensical than wearing a pronoun badge. If you don't know what my pronouns are, I'm not going to tell you. And this is the madness of sin. This is the madness that comes when we're given over by Almighty God to our sins, when we're abandoned to them. We say we can live without God. Professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. Now Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ who went to the cross of Calvary, who died in the place of sinners, who laid down his life, who loved sinners and gave himself for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead and who is alive today and seated on the very throne of heaven today, in all of the glory that belongs to Almighty God. And to those who believe on him, the Bible says, gave he power to become the sons of God. If you become a Christian, God will own you. God will have mercy on you. God will save you. God will forgive you. God will establish you. God will give you everlasting life. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, your sins remain upon you. And there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. You can't go anywhere else. There isn't anywhere else. There's nothing you can do or anybody else can do to save you apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must repent of our sins and turn from our sins and flee from the wrath to come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Amen. Father, I pray for this town of Kidderminster. I pray for England and for other countries as well, Australia and Canada and the United States and Scotland and Wales and Ireland, Lord, and Father, and New Zealand, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on Kidderminster. I pray, Lord, that the people who walk past now would come and stand. And, Lord, that pigeon was wiser than everybody in Kidderminster today because that pigeon stood and listened to the preaching and everybody else walked past. Father, I pray that such conviction of sin from your Holy Spirit would fall upon the people of this town, that they would be even banging on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, we must hear the word of God preached to us. And Father, I pray you'd raise up preachers in this day and equip them and fill them with your Spirit and use them for your glory. I pray you take the word that's been preached today that has been heard. And I pray, Lord, that you bring conviction and on the girl who said that she couldn't be saved because she was bisexual, and the other girl who said she wanted to go to hell. And all of these others, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy upon them. I pray, Father, that you would... I pray, Lord, that you would send an awakening. Lord, this town does not deserve an awakening. This town does not deserve mercy, Lord, but we're in the gospel age, Lord, an age in which you show mercy and have mercy, and you are a merciful God who delights to show mercy. So if the people will not cry out for themselves, Lord, raise up a praying Christian people who will cry out on their behalf, O Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. Come down and have mercy upon the people here, Lord, and save them from their sins. And have mercy upon me, Lord. I pray that you provide for this ministry, Lord. I pray that you would enable this ministry, Lord. I pray that you'd set your seal of blessing and approval upon this ministry. Father, I pray and plead with you that it would continue, Lord, because it needs your provision and your help and your support, Father. And I ask your mercy and strength to continue preaching this gospel, and above all, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in the preaching of your word. Have mercy on me and forgive me for my sin, and use this message, and use it on YouTube as well, Lord, in sermon audio, that it will be used for your glory there. May those who hear it be blessed and encouraged by it, Father. So, Father, I commend myself to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, thank the Lord that I've been able to preach today. I feel as though I've been preaching in the theatre because of all the simulated thunder in the background. I don't know if it's been picked up on the recording or not. It probably has. But it's like if you're in a theatre, you stand at the back of a theatre and somebody wobbles the metal sheet and it makes the sound of thunder. Well, where I normally stand, somebody's put a metal cage up and it's been full of very big plastic boxes. And you can hear them rumbling along there. They're being thrown down onto the ground and then moved around. And, it was said of one very famous preacher that he preached in a thunderstorm, and that the thunderstorm illustrated his sermons perfectly. But this was artificial thunder today. I'm so thankful to God that I was able to preach today, and I pray that this will continue. But I do pray for Kidderminster and for England and for our countries that
that God would have mercy on us and use us for his glory in these days. Amen.
Jesus Christ
is Lord. He's the Saviour of the world. No, it's no good laughing. He sees it. That's blasphemy. God has set the name of Jesus Christ above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's horrible. That girl, woman was just walking past and she blasphemed Jesus' name. That's absolutely horrible. Lord, have mercy upon her. Bring her under conviction of sin and the men with her. And bring her to salvation, I pray. Amen.